Well, good evening, everybody. Good to see you tonight as we gather for our midweek Bible study. And we're going to be turning in a moment or two to Luke chapter 8. So if you want to maybe look up Luke chapter 8, we're going to think about just one verse tonight from the parable of the sower. It's a verse really I haven't really noticed before, but I noticed it recently and I thought I'm going to take that verse and just sort of turn it around and think about the different aspects of it. So Luke chapter 8 is our Bible reading tonight, and we're going to read from verses 4 to 15. And before we do that, let's just have a moment's prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you that we can sit here in a meeting like this tonight, and each of us can bring a Bible, and we have the freedom to do so. We have the Bible in our own language, and we can hear it explained and expounded. And we thank you, Father, that that is a privilege that we take for granted so often. But Lord, it's a privilege that many Christians in the world just can't even dream of. And so we thank you tonight that we have this privilege, and we pray that as we turn to your word, that you would help us tonight, Lord, to understand what you're saying to us. For Father, we know your word searches us, and sometimes it searches us right into the very depths of our hearts, and that can be a deeply unpleasant experience. Sometimes it instructs us, Lord, in our ignorance, for there are many things we don't know yet, many things that we do not understand yet. And when we are instructed, then it's an eye-opening experience and heartwarming. And Father, we thank you also tonight that your word is able to strengthen us in our weaknesses. And what an encouraging experience that is, Lord, when a word gives us strength, a word gives us courage, a word enables us to keep going. Most of all, Lord, we pray tonight that we would have the awareness that you are dealing with our hearts. We think of Moses, and as he stood before the burning bush, how you said to him, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground." And we pray tonight, Lord, that we would sense that we are on holy ground for your glory and for our good. So, Lord, bless this truth to us tonight. We know it's a familiar parable, but we just ask that you would help us to bring out fruit to everlasting life, and that our lives, Lord God, would blossom and flourish unto everlasting life. For we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's read from chapter 8. Of Luke's Gospel, from verse 4 to verse 15, and it's the last verse, verse 15, we're going to think about tonight. This is God's Word. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told them this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path that was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he had said this, Jesus called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. And if you've got your King James Version tonight, you'll see that that last verse says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Recently, I was talking to a grave digger after a funeral had concluded, things I have to do when your minister is sort of waiting around for people to leave the graveyard. And I was sort of chatting away with this man who is, as I say, a grave digger. And he was going to fill in the grave once everybody had left. And he was commenting on to me about the way in which around the country there are different types of soil. Very interesting conversation at the side of a grave. And he was saying that some parts of the country you go to, it's sandy soil, and it's quite easy to fill in the grave after the funeral has taken place. And in other parts of the country, it's very clayey soil, and it's hard work to load the clay back into the grave again. And his point was that filling in a grave is easier in some places than it is in others. The parable of the sower is about four different types of ground, representing four types of hearer of the word of God. And we've all heard this parable preached on at harvest services probably over the years. I know I've preached on it any number of times over the years. The first type of person is the hard ground. When God's word comes to them, it just bounces off them again. It's like a golf ball bouncing down a tarmac road. It just doesn't penetrate, it doesn't make any impact whatsoever. And it speaks about people who come to church and they have no desire to be spoken to, no desire to receive the word. They're in church for different reasons and it just bounces off them again like a golf ball bouncing down the road. It does them no good whatsoever. The second type of person is the stony ground. This is someone who is shallow. And they thought that if they responded to the word, that they would have no trouble, that life would become a picnic, a Sunday school picnic, as we say. But then when trouble comes along, they're gone. They were shallow in their thinking, and they weren't ready to pay the cost and to hold on in times of trouble. They thought God would just make their lives a bundle of laughs. And so trouble means that they disappear as well. The third type of person is the weedy ground. They get choked, as the Bible says, by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. They're distracted. They don't focus on God's word. They allow other things to come in around them. Life's worries, notice some of them are negative, some of them are positive. Worries are negative. Riches and pleasures are positive. You can be brought down by negative things. You can be brought down by positive things. And the weedy ground are the people who receive the word. They appear to be converted, but whenever they drift off, they fail to hold on. They really weren't converted. They produce no fruit, just like the stony ground. But the fourth type of ground is the good ground. It yields a harvest. And of that ground, Jesus said, they are those which, in an honest and good heart, hear the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. So it's true, isn't it? Whenever the word's preached, not everybody's converted. There are those who are, but there are those who aren't. And even when Jesus was preaching, this is a crowd of people, we're told here, and Jesus looks at this crowd, and he knows that there are four different categories of people in the crowd. Not everybody's going to be converted. Some will appear to be, but they won't be. Some will just walk away again and say, that was very interesting, but it's nothing to do with me. And there will be those who will be converted in the midst of the crowd. So even in Jesus' time, not everybody was converted. In the apostles' time, not everybody was converted. Few, the narrow road, few there be that find it, Jesus said. So who are those who are converted, who are the good ground? That's the question that I want us to zoom in on tonight in verse 15. I've never really thought about this verse before. The seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. What does it mean to be good ground? First thing I want to say is good ground is prepared ground. It's prepared ground. Notice when Jesus says it's ground that is honest, that the honest and good heart. Honest means open. It means not deceitful or two-faced. Good, honest, and good means simply good. Not a heart that is hearing with a bad attitude or a heart saying in the depths of its being, there is no God, sitting resentful of the message. But a heart that is straightforward and accepting and humbly believing and wants to benefit from what it's hearing, is open to the message and won't criticize or object or pervert the word as it comes to them, but they're open to hearing what God has to say. It's a good heart. Martin Lloyd-Jones says the essential trouble with the unbeliever is that his heart is wrong with respect to God, and because his heart is wrong, he cannot possibly understand. But a healthy heart is an honest and good heart because God has been at work in this heart to prepare it, to get it ready. You know what it's like whenever a farmer breaks up a field that maybe hasn't been sown for years, and he will send in the tractor to plow it. Then it will be harrowed, it will be de-stoned, the weeds will be lifted, any litter and so on. It will be completely prepared by the farmer in order that it will become productive. And I always love it. I don't know about you, but I always love seeing a ploughed field with its lovely brown soil. It's just ready. It's just good to go. And it's just sitting there, and it's maybe been planted. The rain has fallen on it. And there's something very natural and wholesome about a ploughed field. And so is the heart that God prepares for the receiving of his word. A.W. Tozer famously wrote a piece called Miracles Follow the Plough. And that's a very interesting title for his, I think it was from a sermon, Miracles Follow the Plough. He was speaking on the Bible text, break up your fallow ground. It is time to seek the Lord. And his point was this: fallow ground is the person, fallow ground, he said, is smug, it's contented, it's self-satisfied, it's stagnating, it's saying to itself, well, things have always been this way and they'll always be the same way. And he says, this is the man who doesn't want to be disturbed, or the woman who doesn't want to be disturbed, who's comfortable the way they are, who doesn't want to change, who doesn't want to have any challenge brought to their lives, who doesn't want disturbed. They're fallow ground. But run a plough over the ground, and suddenly there's air coming in, water coming in, there's fertilizer coming in, there's a whole transformation of the ground as the noisy tractor goes over the ground and the plough cuts it and turns it over, and there's a transformation brought to that fallow field. And Tozer's point is that when God works in a heart, he disturbs a heart. And any of us who have been converted will be able to look back to the time just before our conversion, and we will know that God was preparing our hearts. He upsets. He disillusions. He convicts us. He makes us seriously uncomfortable about sins in our lives. He makes us yearn for higher things, for truer things, for purer things than the things of this world. confessing sin, repenting of sin, yearning for a right relationship with God as the fallow field is being plowed. And they become willing to seek God in their lives. And good ground is ground that God has worked on. He is the farmer. Just as before Jesus came, John the Baptist was sent. Do you ever wonder why John came just before Jesus? John was breaking up the fallow ground. He preached a baptism of repentance. Turn from your sin. Face the fact you're not right with God. Confess your sin. Seek the Lord while he may be found. And there is this breaking up of fallow ground, and that's the prepared ground. That's the good ground that Jesus is speaking about here. It is ground that God has been at work in, and ground that he is preparing for the word. So good ground is prepared ground. Secondly, good ground is planted ground. Because look at it says on verse 15, but on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart hear the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. And it's ironic, I think, as I was preparing this, this struck me. It's ironic that the person who is coming to this point of hearing the word and believing the word, they probably are aware, they certainly will be aware, those around them are aware, that there's something wrong with them. What's going on with you? Why are you so troubled? Why are you so up and down? Why is there just something, a different note about your life than what there usually is? And it's ironic, I think, that the person who is under conviction and coming to that point of having the word planted in their lives, they feel their hearts aren't right, but actually their hearts are more right at that moment than they've ever been in their lives. And they're probably more right than all the people who are saying to them, what's wrong with you? What's up with you? Why are you like this? And it's in that state, whenever they're under conviction, they hear a word. Really important what you listen to. John Bunyan talked about ear gate. Talked about eye gate and ear gate. Because what goes in through your ear? They say in nursing homes, don't they, the last thing to go is your hearing. That's why Jesus says here in verse 8, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Ear gate is really important. And what these folk are hearing here, Jesus is saying, is the word of God. That's what he says here. He told them a parable in verse 11. The meaning of the parable, the seed is the word of God. And having heard this word, having been planted in them, what they do is they heed this word. They keep it. I'm told in the Greek, the original Greek, that the word keep is the same word that is used later on in the Acts of the Apostles for when the ship made for the shore. It makes for the message. It just doesn't hear it. It takes possession of it. Turns around and instead of running from the light, it runs to the light. And it holds on to it for dear life. A bit like if you'd fallen into water and someone threw you a life belt and they shouted to you, hold on to the life belt and I'll pull you in with the rope. You hold on for grim death and you trust that person to pull you in. You hold it for grim death because you know this is where your life is. And that's what the person does who has the word planted in them in a real and a living way. It's so different to the other three types of planting. The first person, remember, just bounced off them like a golf ball bouncing down the tarmac road. The second person, well, they held on for so long, and then when a bump in the road came along, they let go of the word. Too much trouble, you see, to hold on. The third person, they held on as long as there were no distractions, but when distractions arrived, they let go of the word. But the fourth person, the person in whom God has been at work preparing them and planting his word, they keep the word in sunny days and in dark days, when it's easy to serve the Lord and when it's not so easy to serve the Lord, when temptations are near and when temptations are far away, they hear, they retain, they remember. It's planted in them. So good ground is prepared ground, it's planted ground, and lastly, it's productive ground. They hear the word, they keep it, and they bring forth fruit with patience, or bring forth fruit with perseverance. I was reading Matthew Henry's commentary on Luke's gospel, and he makes a rather neat comparison to what happens when you eat. He says that whenever you eat and take food down into your stomach, you receive the food, but you don't vomit it up again. For it to do you good, you have to retain it, digest it, let it go through you. And just so the soul receiving the seed of God's word, if it's going to produce fruit, it has to be ingested, digested, and it has to do its work within your soul. God doesn't, just as food doesn't immediately benefit your body, it takes time to nourish you, so in the Christian experience, yes, you receive the word, but you don't become a Christian overnight. You don't become a mature Christian overnight. A growth begins. And it's a slow growth. Little by little, as children sometimes saying, little by little, he's changing me. Little by little, he's changing me. It's a bit like the daffodils that are coming up all over the country. They're not there because they were just planted yesterday. They're planted last year, maybe years ago, and over time they've been evolving and now they're coming up. It's a slow process, but it's a sure process. You have to be patient. If you want to see daffodils, you have to be patient. And just so with being a Christian, bear fruit with patience. The fruit of the human soul, Christ-likeness, it comes slowly as you engage with God, as you seek the Lord while he may be found. Becoming a Christian is just not asking the Lord in your heart and that's it. That's only the start. That's the first step on a journey of walking with the Lord, seeking the Lord, getting more of the Lord in your life. And over time, as the word is held onto, as the word is matured, as it evolves in the soul, so it does its work. The word, God says, will not return unto me empty, but will accomplish the purpose for which I sent it. So tonight I want to encourage you to keep on keeping on. You see what it says? Keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Because the perseverance of the saints is one of the proofs of the saints. People who drop off the road and never come back are most likely never were saints in the first place. This holding on, this keeping on going patiently and persistently is itself a proof the Spirit is in you. And it's a marker that come what may, this person is going to keep going for God. Rather than the three other types of here who they just don't go on with God. One didn't want to go with God at all. And the middle two, the stony ground and the rocky ground, well, they let go of the word and it did them no good. So good ground is productive ground. There is perseverance. There is Christ-likeness or holiness. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. It has to be a life changed. This knowledge of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, and so on. This seed is productive, and I hope tonight, it spoke to me, this text of Scripture, that, again, it's making this point that Christianity is just not a conversion experience. It begins there, but then it goes on to perseverance and the production of a good crop through holding on, retaining it, and practicing a noble and a good heart. Let's pray.